Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the CAF America Radio Network, a production of the Charities Aid Foundation of America. As the leader in global giving, CAF America offers more than 20 years of experience and expertise to corporations, foundations, and individuals who wish to give internationally and with enhanced due diligence in the United States. Through its industry-leading grant management programs and philanthropic advisory services, CAF America helps donors amplify their impact. This show is dedicated to these donors and the charities they support. CAF America is uniquely positioned to serve as the bridge between these important partners and transforms vision into meaningful action. Guests on the CAF America Radio Network are leaders in their field who share tips for success and stories that inspire. Our host is Ted Hart, the CEO of the Charities Aid Foundation of America. This is a live call-in show. Add your voice by calling 914-338-0855. After the show, you can find all of our podcasts at cafamerica.org. Don't forget to dial 914-338-0855. Now, welcome the host of the CAF America Radio Network, Ted Hart.
And welcome to this latest edition of the CAF America Radio Network. Thank you for joining us today. We have a very important topic, and of course, that is international grant making. Today, we have two experts in their field who are going to help us do a recap of the International Grant Making Symposium that was held by CAF America last month at United Nations headquarters in New York City. We're going to go with ladies first, and we have with us on the show Ulrika Friesen, who is a key member of the Cisco Foundation's Employee Matching Gifts Program team, responsible along with CAF America and other partners for organizing, vetting, and policy review. She also provides monthly financial reporting to the foundation and our partners, DAFs. In addition to these responsibilities, Ulrika is a project manager for a key recycling and sustainability project at Cisco's corporate affairs organization. Ulrika has been with Cisco for 7 years and is passionate about volunteering in her free time. And more importantly, she's here with us right now. And I want to welcome here to the CAF America Radio Network, Ulrika Friesen. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Ulrika, we have another guest who's going to join us here on the show as well. Anaur Giardini is grants manager at the City Foundation. He's responsible for grants administration, information management, analysis and reporting, and IT management. Most recently, Anaur led the implementation of technology and process enhancements for grants management operations, as well as the execution of business analytics and grant impact assessment for the foundation. He holds a BA in philosophy and economics from Fordham University and MPA from Columbia University. Welcome here to the CAF America Radio Network, Anaur Giardini.
Hello, thank you for having me today.
Well, it's great to have you both here on the show. Our topic today, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is a very important one, and that is a bit of a recap, revisiting the information that was learned at the IGS, what we call the IGS, the International Grant Making Symposium, held last month at United Nations headquarters. I'm going to ask each of you, let's start off with just your impressions of the IGS and where you feel that fits in sort of the training cycle, if you will. Let's start off with Ulrika.
Thank you. Well, for starters, I found that it was extremely fitting that we had this year's IGS at the UN headquarters. They're the heart of philanthropy, and being there to learn more about philanthropy and the SDGs that they have was so fitting and just made it super exciting to be there and to be able to learn more about what's available to do for different organizations throughout the world.
Yeah, we want to get into those details. Quite a good mix of people attending and great information. Noor, what were your impressions?
Yeah, I think I'll echo Rika's sentiment and say that the IGS provided us with a great opportunity to come in and really learn about some of the newer trends in international grant making. Coming from the perspective of a multinational corporation, it was very helpful to be able to come in and sit in some of the sessions around compliance, due diligence, and what some of the regulatory new climate facing philanthropy was. So for us, it was a great opportunity to really sit in, take some time to learn about the new trends and really learn about what we need to be doing more of, what the best practices are, and what other organizations like ours are doing.
So certainly some of the things that we were hoping to accomplish. One of the things that Ulrika brought up, I wanted to just explore a little bit further with you. In September of last year, world leaders agreed to adopt a set of 17 goals, which have become known as the SDGs, or the Sustainable Development Goals, in an effort to combat poverty, social inequality, climate change, and many other goals for our planet. You mentioned, Ulrika, that this was not only fitting for the IGS to be held at the United Nations, but part of that was because of a focus that we have this year on the SDGs. Talk to our audience a little bit more about why you felt that was important and why. What does this say about the future of international giving?
Well, I would say that it was important just to learn what focus areas the UN has set out for helping those in need, so that we were really getting a better understanding of what needs to be done. And being able to have these focus areas helps organizations like Cisco to be able to really have a deep engagement with some of those areas.
I agree. Anar, how do you feel that these SDGs, they're new? We're just going to be coming up on a year since their adoption. Is this still a learning phase that's important for, that you believe is important for all international grant makers, or is this set to a certain level of giving?
I think it's absolutely good, it's a learning phase. I think, in thinking about the Sustainable Development Goals, philanthropy should and can look at them as a framework under which we can continue to pursue our work, so that it's not an isolated effort. I think the Sustainable Development Goals, and this might be oversimplistic to say, but, it's really a global effort that calls for cross-sector collaboration, new innovation to really solve the challenges that the world as a whole is facing. So for philanthropy, we can see our role in pursuing these goals and continuing our work, but under a framework that makes it more impactful and allows us to add it up to an effort that is not isolated to us.
Right, and I think in the past, while there certainly have been efforts in that area, the ability to now have your own activities but have them measured with and against other activities on a global scale does set a different level of impactfulness, and we believe can also help provide some markers for future training. And that's why Ulrika, CAF America, has made a commitment to be a global leader in training on the SDGs and to providing access to information on how best practices can be learned across sectors. Both you and Anor represent corporate foundations, and that to have a robust corporate philanthropic strategy, you have to understand the fundamentals of international grant making. So in addition to the SDGs, which help set global markers, talk a little bit about, back to the IGS, in terms of before you get to effectiveness on the SDGs, there's some basics you got to know.
Agreed. I think that the IGS was really informative for me personally, as I'm relatively new to working with Cisco's corporate foundation. And there were a lot of takeaways that I had after coming back and being able to use this knowledge that I learned. There were things everywhere from, simple definitions such as what ER and ED stand for, versus just understanding what CAF America does for Cisco as our intermediary and how the funds are dispersed to the NGOs. I have to say it was a lot of information that I really am utilizing each day since I've gotten back.
Well, you make a smile when you say things like that, Ulrika. Anur, to the basics of grant making, one of the things that is often a hurdle for a lot of folks who are either new to the international grant making space or have been in it but didn't know exactly what the details were. They come at it wanting it to be as simple as writing a check and sending it to a charity as it would be in the U.S., and it's simply not. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you know and what you've learned and the role of an IGS in terms of helping provide a common framework for which international grant making can be done effectively, safe, and regulatory compliant?
Definitely, yes. And I think, you know, I definitely see where you're coming from in terms of understanding, you know, you have to have the understanding of the Sustainable Development Goals and know to what you're working towards. But ultimately, there's so much that has to come before getting to that point that it's just as important. And, you know, that's really where the groundwork is set, knowing, understanding what regulations you have to comply as a grant maker, having, you know, the thorough due diligence processes in place so that you're funding the right partners, partners that will see the work carried out, partners that are eligible for funding, having good understanding of AML regulations that you have to abide by, having good understanding of what the regulatory climate of the countries in which you're working is so that you are abiding by the right regulations. So definitely, you know, there's a lot of groundwork that takes place prior to even considering the goals that you're working towards. And as a grant maker, we work really hard to stay on top of what those changing environments are. And I think the IGS provided a great forum for us to really come in and see what those changes are, what those trends are, learning more about the work that we do and what has to happen before that work takes place. And even as a refresher, you know, our organization has been doing this for a while, and I've been doing it for a while, but just being able to come in and really take time to refresh on what the right processes in place need to be was certainly a very good opportunity for us.
Well, and thank you for saying that. It's complex. There's a lot of moving pieces, and so sometimes, as you said, getting a refresher or just having the time out to sort of think of the big picture and all of the moving pieces all in one place is often a luxury that a lot of senior executives like yourselves don't often get. So having sort of that time away to immerse yourself in the changes and what's new, but also just a refresher on the basics. Anur, you kind of set me up for a question that I've been dying to ask Ulrika, because I often feel that you have such a difficult position, or at least a challenging position, in the work that you do with matching gift programs, because of course, just as Anur said, you know, we live and breathe international giving and the complexity of regulatory compliance, and that's what we do. And of course, everything that we do for our donor clients is to streamline that process and to try to take away as much of the complexity as we can. But when you're in a matching gift situation, it's not just our relationship with you and your office and the work that you're doing, Ulrika, but you have employees who are asking questions of you in terms of, you know, delays, and when the answer is about regulatory compliance and anti-money laundering and national standards in other countries and compliance and all things like that, I imagine that those answers are not always entirely satisfying to the people who just want the money to move tomorrow.
You're correct. It's not. And it is at times difficult to, you know, explain some of the situations that we have to work with and around with having to deal with, you know, non-U.S. governmental situations and areas. But, you know, they are understanding in the end. Sometimes it may take a little bit of time to explain, and we just spend the time with the employees to explain to them that, you know, we're doing the best for not only Cisco, but for the nonprofit organizations that they're choosing to support.
Mm-hmm. And does a program like the IGS help sort of arm you with the ready answers that help you make that case?
It sure does. It really made it so that I had a better in-depth understanding of the things that are happening behind the scenes that I might not see specifically, but then that I can relay that kind of information to our employees so that they also have a better understanding of what we're doing.
Absolutely. We're going to take just a very quick break here. And when we come back, Anura, I wanted to just ask you to sort of reflect on one of the areas of growth. CAF America has grown 168% in the last 4 years. And certainly the area of corporate giving continues to grow. And you're with a bank, and banks are often some of the biggest players in the international grant-making space. And their role looks to be increasing over time. And I wondered if you might reflect on that, and we'll be right back.
Remember, our podcasts and archives are always available 24 hours a day at cafamerica.org. If you're listening today, our phone lines are open. Call in and ask a question by dialing 914-338-0855. Now, back to the CAF America Radio Network and our host, Ted Hart.
And we're back here live with Noor Giardini, who is grants manager at Citi Foundation, and Ulrika Friesen, who is an analyst at Cisco. Just as we went on a quick break, Noor, I was just sort of posing this question of the important nature of banks and how it seems that grant making continues to grow. Do you want to reflect on that a bit?
Yeah, thank you. I think, when looking at the role that grant-making plays within organization, we certainly see that growth. We see, the need is always there, and I think for our bank, it's important to continue to evolve our grant-making, to continue to evolve it in a way that continues to fulfill that need. So I certainly agree with you. And I think there's also an emphasis in making sure that it's not just a grant making that's pushing that citizenship mission, that corporate responsibility strategy. I think it's equally important that for our impact to be scalable and to have depth to it, that the business activity also drives that mission. So for us, I think the focus is not just on evolving our grant making, but actually working to really embed our citizenship efforts into the day-to-day business activity of the company, because that's where we see our impact being magnified in a way that, it's scalable and has real depth to it.
I agree with you, Ulrika. I was wondering, I was talking to someone the other day who was talking about the difference between for-profits and non-profits, and this particular person made the case that from his perspective, it was far easier to be a for-profit than to be a non-profit, because the only thing you have to do is to be successful is to make a profit. But I don't know if that's entirely true today. I mean, certainly making a profit is the goal, but increasingly people are expecting corporations to provide more of an example of social responsibility and development and certainly environmental impact. Is it just as simple for a company to make a profit and that's good enough, or is there more to it for corporations? And does that bring them into more of a partnership with the SDGs?
I definitely think there's more to it. It's not just about making money. It's about doing the right thing for our community, our world, just like you said, doing sustainable items. We want to be able to, not just make that money, but be able to do the right thing. And I think having the SDGs really helps corporations focus on areas that they feel that they can do the best at.
I think my next question is for both of you, if you would both reflect, because Ulrika, you just brought up, I think, a very important point, and it's been raised on this show a couple of times, and that's the role of employees in corporate philanthropy. That's changed over the last decade. Can the two of you, and Ulrika, we'll start with you since you sort of rightfully raised the issue. How has it changed? Why has it changed? And what does it say about the future?
Well, I would say that people have become more aware of, I want, for lack of a better word, their surroundings and what we need to do to make this world a better place. And, I mean, it sounds a little simplistic, but to me that's the heart of it. We just want to be in a better place, and people see that and know that that corporations have a more, almost more bandwidth or more reach to be able to help do these things. And I think that's some of the change that I've personally seen just being in the philanthropic area and going from, you know, just little hands-on things to much larger sustainability type things. I think people are just growing.
But hey, we're a corporation. We gave you a job. Be happy with the job. Why would employees be involved, and how? Why has that changed?
Well, I think there's a couple of things to it. One is, and this has always been a mantra here at the foundation, that we have a strong sense that we can't just be check writers. That ultimately, the money can only go so far, and as a corporation, as a bank, we have a huge, huge asset in the people that work with us. So we've always tried to leverage our employees to take our impact further, understanding that, you know, the money can only take you so far, that really we can leverage the expertise of our employees in different areas to really drive our mission forward. So that is on our end. I think on the end of the employee, I think, you know, I'll just echo Rika's point. I think there's a sense of community engagement that is just increasing in today's workforce. We certainly see it. I mean, we carry out our Global Community Day every year, where we invite every employee in the company to volunteer. And, you know, this year alone, we had over 85,000 employees volunteering in a single day. And we see that number grow year over year. And I think it is because there is a sense of wanting to belong to your communities, wanting to see change in those communities, and not just clocking in and out.
In looking into the future, the IGS, of course, this year has been mentioned, had a focus on the sustainable development goals. In this era where there is more, as you said, awareness of your surroundings, interest in corporations being a part of the solution and not just seeking to make a profit, does all of this combine to change recruitment of employees, retainment of employees, and is there a rightful role of philanthropy in drawing the best to a corporation?
So I'll answer that. I would say it does. We have already seen that the employees that we're bringing on, they're very interested in being able to help the community and be able to grow areas. They're very focused on wanting to have that as part of their day-to-day work life. And it's one of those things that makes me feel good that it is becoming more part of what is expected when you get a job, and that is part of what they do.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the nail. I mean, I think it's, you know, increasingly you hear from people as they're looking to where they want to work. They want to see a company that's engaged in the community, for which citizenship is a key focus. And so, you know, grant making has a huge role to play in that. I think when you talk about the business case for grant making, that's a huge drawing element. It's the fact that, you know, people are increasingly looking for companies that are citizens of their environment, that work to improve their communities, that engage with their employees. And so grant making has a huge role to play in that.
Exactly.
This notion that you're raising of citizenship, both at the employee level and at the corporate level. Talk to me a little bit more about that and how you see philanthropy having a role in that.
Yeah, I think, you know, when talking about citizenship, at least for us, it's really that that concept of the company being a citizen of its community, really working to improve the places where we have a business footprint and help those communities. So I think when you think about grant making and the role it has to play, you know, it's, as I mentioned, really engaging the company's efforts, working to instill those that mission, the mission of the foundation, into the work of the employees, the work of the company. I think ultimately the grant making has to drive it, but in order for it to have a real impact and be scalable, it has to be part of the core of the company. And employees want to see that, certainly. So,
speaking as someone who has been a delegate to the International Grant Making Symposium, if you were speaking to someone, to your colleagues, what would you say the experience was like? So having been there, how would you describe your experience of attending the IGS? Ulrika?
That's a great question. I was thoroughly impressed. It was very well thought out. It had a large variety of topics that we covered, and people that came and talked to us everywhere, everything from, you know, not just people from CAF America, but there were UN employees, there were philanthropists, there were lawyers, there were people from nonprofit organizations. It was just so detailed, but also very broad at the same time, that we were able to just be able to interact with each other and really learn what is going on in the area of you know, giving in nonprofit organizations. And I really enjoyed being able to do some of the activities that you had set out for us, but also being able to interact with people from different corporations, nonprofit organizations, the private sector. I really felt like there was a lot of networking and being able to learn from each other.
That's great. Anur?
Yeah, I think it's I describe it as an experience of learning. Learning not just from the great presenters that were there, but also from the other delegates. As I mentioned, it really provided a space in which you could talk to other people about the work that they're doing and how they're conducting it, learning from those best practices. So it was a space for learning. I think it was a space for collaboration. You know, along with that ability to talk to other delegates, learn from them and about them. And I think ultimately also a great space for thinking, as you mentioned earlier in the conversation, having the ability to step away for a few days and kind of close yourself from the rest of what's happening and really take some time to spend a few days thinking about the sustainable development goals, thinking about your impact, thinking about your work and how you can continue to improve it and do to make it more impactful.
Unfortunately, we only have 90 seconds left. These shows always go way too fast, and the two of you have just been fascinating and terrific, so thank you very much. I want to ask, as we wrap up, each of you to reflect on, as we plan for next year's International Grant Making Symposium, in your mind, what's the one reason, or two if you wish, but we only have a little over a minute left, one or two reasons why someone should make sure that they attend the IGS next year, and we'll start off with Anur.
I think the if someone were to ask me, the reason I would give them is, you know, is as, and I hate repeating myself, but I'll do it again. I'll say learning. It really is a great space for learning from the novice grant maker to the very experienced one. There's plenty to learn from and plenty of people to learn from. So
that's great.
I was going to say the same thing. Learning it was a fabulous place to learn in the collaboration.
Anur Giardini and Ulrika Friesen, thank you for helping us recap the 2016 International Grant Making Symposium held at the United Nations in New York City. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the CAF America Radio Network. Tell all your friends and colleagues to check out our production schedule. Sign up for our free newsletter and download our iPad and iPod-friendly podcasts at CAFAmerica.org. Thanks for listening to the CAF America Radio Network.